This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFK. If you're not already a member, consider joining with us and keep free speech alive.
This is Mike Wallace. You're listening to Harrison.
Live from Hollywood, it's Harrison.
It's 5 minutes after the hour. Sorry about that, Mercy. Brad, yeah, I know you are. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, your friendly citizen investigative journalist, blogger, troublemaker, muckraker, and, if I say so myself, all-around swell fellow. Don't you think, Mercy?
I endorse that.
Thank you very much. You're smart to do so.
I'm Mercy Malik, and I approve of that statement.
Thank you very much. I'm in for Harrison, who is still traveling. He is, I am told, just minutes before airtime, en route back to Los Angeles. So he will be, yes, he is, will be joining us again tomorrow. So I'm delighted to sit in for him one more day. For those folks who don't know me, as I say, I'm the Brad in bradblog.com, the blogger dude over there. And, let's see, Harrison's frequent Wednesday guest for Muckraking Wednesday, which it has been all week, last week and this week with me sitting in. It's Muckraking every day.
Muckraking week.
And I'm glad to be here and Muckraking with you. We are going to be doing exactly that. In just a few moments, we'll be speaking with Glenn Greenwald, live from Rio de Janeiro.
Wow.
In Brazil.
Yeah.
He, one of the great bloggers, one of America's great, one of the world's great bloggers, frankly. He will be joining us to talk, yes, about the WikiLeaks. You know, we spoke about it last week. We had Dan Ellsberg, Pentagon Papers whistleblower.
Yeah.
Have that interview now up at bradblog.com. We talked about it as well on, Tuesday, as the story was just beginning to break. And, you know, Mercy, I was thinking, well, Monday, we're going to cover something else. There's so much going on. There's Obama is busy capitulating to Republicans on the Bush tax cuts. Mm. That needs to be covered. There's a climate conference going on down in Mexico that needs to be covered. There's all kinds of things that need coverage. But you know what? I think nothing compares to this.
I agree. All six of my stories today are a result of the WikiLeaks leaks, because they cover so many different topics that we've talked about on the show and important things that people need to know about. It's all in there, and a wealth of information about all sorts of things that we had wondered about.
Exactly. There's so much information coming out so quickly each and every day as more and more of these cables come out. And, you know, one of the things that I'm going to want to talk to Glenn Greenwald about is this notion, you know, the first day they came out, you had a lot of folks in the media say, oh, there's nothing new here. We've seen it. This latest batch of cables, it's a great disappointment. Nothing going on here at all. Well, you know, there was very few that were actually released at first.
Right.
They've been given to mainstream media outlets around the world. Guardian UK, who has, interestingly enough, shared them with the New York Times, because for some reason WikiLeaks didn't give them to them originally.
Wow.
German paper Der Spiegel and others. So they are, you know, plowing through this material, these mainstream media outlets. They are the ones, in fact, who are releasing this information along with WikiLeaks,
right.
But the papers have them. The newspapers have them.
Right.
Nonetheless, WikiLeaks is being targeted like nothing we have ever seen before. Well, I was going to say ever seen before in this country, but as I was driving over here, you know, I'm thinking, maybe during the 50s, the McCarthy tactics, you know, where companies, Hollywood movie studios were sitting, you know, blacklisted, you can't work with such and such, or we'll shut you down. Well, we saw something very similar. We are seeing something very similar. Last week, Joe Lieberman, in his position as the head, as the chair of the Homeland Security Committee in the Senate, made a friendly little call to Amazon.com.
Yes, he did.
And said, you know, you guys planning on dropping this WikiLeaks thing soon? Because Amazon.com had served as their internet server, their provider. Well, within hours, they were dropped by Amazon.com.
They had a great front for why they did it. They said,
what was the reason?
Well, you know, any content that isn't owned by the person that wants to put it up, we absolutely cannot carry anyway.
Really?
That was their. They said it was not politically motivated at all. We take no sides, etc. And I mean, it holds water in the sense that that is their policy. But come on,
really,
we know.
Really,
why.
So that means they're going to not be running anything from the New York Times.
That's correct.
Anything from the UK
you could
Guardian.
Technically, dump all of those people off the server for exactly the same reason.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. So it does not seem to hold water.
No,
and
doesn't.
Then another internet company that had been just hosting photographs, you know, graphics compiled from the leaks, you know, where are they coming from, what do they have to do with, they took down their graphics. Amazon.com, after they cut off WikiLeaks, WikiLeaks then went to another provider called, I think it was EveryDNS. They, too, ended up cutting off WikiLeaks. They said it was because they were getting so many denial of service attacks that it was affecting all of their other clients.
Yeah.
Not sure if we can buy that or
not. Well, and that's the thing. All of these, if they are standalone reasons, could be possible. But in the context, we know what's really going on.
Yeah.
The thing that's been heartening to me is a number of private individuals have kind of picked up the torch and have uploaded their own copies that they took off of the original site.
Well, that's what's had to happen.
Right.
And, you know, and we'll see if that survives. And that's certainly something I want to talk to Glenn about. You know, this is a real test for the internet right now.
Yes.
And I got to tell you, while folks have been stepping forward and providing mirror sites for these cables, I'm still concerned because I'm not seeing the kind of shouting and outrage that I might have expected.
One might think.
Certainly from the mainstream media, that's an extraordinary disappointment, the fact that they are not outraged. But even, you know, I'm not sure the citizenry gets this at this point.
They definitely don't. In fact, I was at a restaurant on Friday night, and we happened to overhear a group of kind of older gentlemen sitting next to us. And my ears perked up when I heard the term cyber terrorist. And he's just saying, that Julian Assange guy, he's just a cyber terrorist. And I had to be restrained by my boyfriend from not going over there and just letting them know, just give them a little education.
And I think that's the mindset now that has come in. And it, you know, hasn't come from nowhere. This is coming from media reports on this.
Right.
This is coming from a lot of, not just, you know, your Joe Liebermans, and not just your right-wingers who are out there on the Sunday shows calling Julian Assange a terrorist.
Calling for his execution. Right.
The organization is a terrorist organization. You see, anything that we don't like, anybody that we don't like, because we stood around for 10 years during the Bush administration when they allowed this to go on, where they, you know, said, well, if the administration says so, if the executive branch decries someone an enemy, they are an enemy. No need to make the case.
Right. If the president does it, that means that
it's
legal.
That's it. And Barack Obama came in and did nothing about it. And I think we're now looking at the consequences of this because you have these guys on the Sunday shows, you know, saying that he's a terrorist, he needs to be targeted. Sarah Palin, who could be your next president of the United States, is out there, you know, saying that he should be targeted like Al-Qaeda. Newt Gingrich is doing the same thing. Senator Mitch McConnell calling him a terrorist. This is remarkable.
It is. And if these people were on air saying, well, this guy is a great patriot, those gentlemen dining next to me would have been talking about Julian Assange to the patriot.
Exactly.
Because that's how it works.
That is how it works. Yeah. When the media talks, people listen. When the media reports crap, garbage, lies, people listen.
Yes,
and
they
that's
do.
What they, you know, and where are, something else I want to ask Glenn about. You know all those right-wingers, those teabaggers out there who are concerned about tyranny and authoritarianism?
Right.
Hello.
Yeah, it is.
This is it.
Surprising, isn't it?
This is it. They are shutting down. We got news today that PayPal has cut down, has cut off WikiLeaks account.
Right.
So because of that, you have to send, if you want to donate to this organization, you have to send to a Swiss bank account that has, we learn this morning, now frozen the account of WikiLeaks, their defense fund.
Yep.
What the hell is going on? Talk about tyranny.
Yes. And then people hear, freedom, freedom, all I'm interested in is freedom. Isn't that impinging upon my freedom a little bit?
El Pais, how do you say Spanish newspaper? El Pais?
Oh,
El
I don't know. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's embarrassing. I don't know either. But they had an editorial today with the headline, "This has never happened before." Okay, this is a mainstream Spanish newspaper. They get it, while the U.S. Media don't seem to. Here's how they concluded their editorial. Today, the publication of the diplomatic cables has stirred international opinion and surprised some governments who often adduce false arguments to downplay or discredit this news bomb. Mm-hmm. This, by the way, this is after they've gone through three paragraphs of revelations, right, actual news that we've gotten from these leaks. The security of individual sources has been assured by eliminating names and data that might endanger them, as the reader will have noticed. Mm-hmm. That's what the media outlets are doing. Right. They're redacting this stuff.
Right.
Okay. The media that have published the revelations have acted within limits sketched out by the U.S. Supreme Court in the Pentagon Papers case, which we talked about with Daniel Ellsberg,
yes,
last week, the leaker of the Pentagon Papers, opting for freedom of information and the citizens' right to know. As for the relevance of the information, the pages of this newspaper speak for themselves. There is no historical precedent for this in terms of scope, as it affects so many conflicts throughout the world. The revelations show a seamy side of the political world about which we had all well-grounded suspicions, but no clear certainty. We are, in a sense, freer now than we were before, which is as much as journalism can hope to achieve.
Actual journalism.
Yeah.
Right.
I think they are right on the money.
Totally.
I think the journalists that we've seen in this country, Times Joe Klein, of all people, calling out these folks as terrorists in Time Magazine. Time Magazine.
Yeah.
You know, one of the premier media outlets in this nation, or at least what used to be. I find it absolutely remarkable, appalling, chilling, and terrifying what's going on. And I'm troubled in one sense to even have to talk about this aspect of it, because it does obscure the actual news, the
right,
actual substance of these leaks.
But it's an entity all unto itself, isn't it? It's a phenomenon unto itself.
It's a phenomenon, and a phenomenon that doesn't seem to me to bode well for the future, and the fact that it is apparently so easy to shut down.
Right.
Just shut down. You know, WikiLeaks has been running. They've lost I don't know how many different internet providers that they've tried to stay up. They are now, at least an hour or two ago when I checked, you could find them at wikileaks.ch. And I'm told that that site is being, as you said, mirrored
right,
at hundreds of other sites. I hope that stays the case. But finding those other sites
is
another matter.
Right?
Yeah.
Because who controls the search engines, for one?
For now, they have been allowed to stay on Twitter. That's a good thing.
And surprising.
Because Twitter has allowed them to announce, well, here's where WikiLeaks is today,
right,
over at this link. Now, we also have news, apparently, that Julian Assange has issued, if you will, an insurance policy,
yeah,
that he has put out some 1.4 gigabytes of encrypted documents, has made these available all over the world. Back in July, Wired wrote about this and said the file's size dwarfs the size of all the other files on the WikiLeaks page combined. The file has also been posted on a torrent download site. That's good. And Assange is quoted as saying, "We have over a long period of time distributed encrypted backups of material we have yet to release. All we have to do is release the password to that material, and it is instantly available."
Right.
So how good that works for insurance for him, I don't know. But if something does happen to him, or something does happen to WikiLeaks, apparently he's able to release
right,
his password. And, well, whatever is in those documents then goes out. I can't imagine what is in those documents, frankly.
Nor could we have imagined their predecessors.
Indeed.
How do we know? Well, oh, sorry.
Well, no, I was going to see if Jeff's ready time for traffic so we can get to Glenn. I'm having you do everything all at once. I know, Jeff.
Make it happen, Jeff.
You ready? You ready
fine,
for traffic?
Hit it. Yeah, why not?
Sure. Hit it? All right, baby.
Harrison.
It certainly wouldn't be the first time that the CIA might have been overzealous in sort of maintaining the kind of top secret definition on things longer than they needed to.
Let me just interrupt here. Are you saying that the CIA took this too seriously?
I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is I think often the CIA classifies things as top secret that really don't need to be top secret.
Yes, we are indeed, and it's scaring the hell out of me. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Harrison today. On, frankly, a remarkable news day. A week or so ago when WikiLeaks announced that they were going to be releasing this newest batch of documents, they tweeted, "The coming months will see a new world where global history is redefined." It seemed pretty lofty, a bit of an overstatement perhaps at the time. Now I'm not so sure. I think global history may be really being redefined, perhaps not in the way that many people thought at first. Mm-hmm. Joining us now to talk about that is Glenn Greenwald, who joins us from Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. He is, of course, the great Salon.com blogger, formerly a constitutional law and civil rights litigator in New York, author of two New York Times best-selling books, How Would a Patriot Act? And A Tragic Legacy. His newest book is Great American Hypocrites, and he has been doing one hell of an important job covering the fallout, if you will, from this from these WikiLeaks, the newest WikiLeaks disclosures, that really amazes me. And he is more alone in his coverage of this than I might have thought he would be. We talked a little bit about that before the break. We'll talk about it more right now. Glenn, welcome to KPFK, sir.
Great to be here, Brad. Thanks for having me.
Really appreciate it. Appreciate you jumping in at short notice, and I appreciate the intense coverage that you and really only a handful of others have been devoting really to this issue and to the fact that, you know, we're seeing this assault on WikiLeaks, an organization that has committed no crimes, has been accused of no crimes. But I want to talk about that in depth. But I want to play, Glenn, if I could, and get your take on this before we go to a news break, and then we'll have a big, long time to talk. Glenn, this is from 1961. John F. Kennedy was speaking to newspaper publishers. This is just a short clip of what he had to say when he said, "The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society, and we are, as a people," he said, "inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, secret oaths, and secret proceedings." He then went on to say this. Glenn, give this a listen.
"For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no rumor is printed, no secret is revealed. It conducts the Cold War, in short, with a wartime discipline no democracy would ever hope or wish to match."
Glenn, a wartime discipline no democracy would ever hope or wish to match. Mm. As he was describing that, obviously he's talking about USSR there, but it sure as hell sounds like the United States of America 2010, does it not?
Well, of course, at the time, even when John Kennedy said that, they were using the wall of secrecy for all sorts of deceitful means. I mean, he was doing things in Vietnam, as the Pentagon Papers ultimately revealed when they were leaked by Daniel Ellsberg, that was vastly different than what they were telling the public, but it certainly intensified and worsened So that now the vast majority of what our government does, even when there's no basis for it, is simply marked secret and takes place completely in the dark, and that's what these WikiLeaks documents are revealing.
Yeah, that is what it seems to be revealing, an extraordinary amount of material being released, although the WikiLeaks website, I think, themselves have only, is still less than 1,000 documents that they put out there, but so many of them marked secret now. We have become really a secret society, it seems. Glenn, you were on Democracy Now! A couple of days ago, I think, and you talked repeatedly about the secrecy regime. What did you mean when you said that? Who does that refer to?
Well, one of the most extraordinary parts about these WikiLeaks documents is that there are hundreds of thousands of pages that have been released, not with this last release. As you point out, there's only about 700 so far that WikiLeaks has posted to their website. But prior to that, in the last 6 months, there was a release regarding the Afghanistan war, and then after that, the Iraq war, and literally hundreds and hundreds of thousands of pages. And I would say 95 to 96%, maybe even a little more, of all those documents, even though they were all marked secret, were not just lacking in anything spectacular in terms of secrets, but were actually quite uninteresting. They were just very routine, mundane, kind of inconsequential documents, and yet they were all marked secret because what our national security state and our surveillance state and the entire permanent military-industrial complex, as Dwight Eisenhower calls it, what they do reflexively is everything they do is hidden from the American people. It used to be that there was a presumption that everything they did was supposed to be out in the open unless there was a compelling reason to conceal it. That presumption has been reversed so that now everything is presumptively concealed. The American people don't know anything about what their government does other than the emptiest and most symbolic gestures.
Which is why I can't imagine Barack Obama today, or frankly any elected politician, giving a speech the type that JFK did in 1961 to newspaper publishers. Now, you know, to be fair, I should say that he was urging newspaper publishers to show restraint. But did we have, do you even know, back in the 60s, did we have the same kind of outcry from mainstream media outlets actually decrying the release of information in the same way that we're seeing now, for, you know, Times Joe Klein calling Assange a terrorist or whatever? Is there a precedent for this?
No, it's interesting. I actually went back over the last 48 hours and looked at some of the contemporaneous commentary that was being offered by politicians and media figures when Daniel Ellsberg leaked the Pentagon Papers. And at the time when he did that, I mean, and it sort of distorted now what he really did. It, people claim, well, that was a very focused and specific leak. It actually wasn't. He leaked 43 volumes, 3,000
yes.
pages, that detailed every aspect of American involvement in Vietnam, and overwhelmingly media figures defended Ellsberg. I mean, it was the New York Times that actually published what he gave them, and then went to court all the way up to the Supreme Court to defend their right to do that.
Right.
There were very few media figures slamming Ellsberg like they are slamming Julian Assange now.
Yeah, you know, and I can't even imagine the New York Times going all the way to the Supreme Court at this point to defend the release of even one classified document, much less thousands of pages, as they did in 1971 with the Pentagon Papers. Glenn, I need to take a quick break for news here. Hang on, we'll have a big block after this. Brad Friedman in for Harrison, speaking with Glenn Greenwald of Salon.com about WikiLeaks and all of the fallout. We will also try, if we can, to take your calls at 310-737-8255. That's 310-737-TALK. If you have a thought or question for Glenn Greenwald, want to get in on this conversation, do it now. But first, Mercy Malik with the news.
Harrison. News update.
Harrison News Time is 31 minutes past the hour, and I'm Mercy Malik with your reality check. U.S. diplomats believe Sri Lankan President Mahinda Rajapaksa was responsible for a massacre last year that is the subject of a U.N. war crimes inquiry. According to a WikiLeaked U.S. cable, lawyers for Tamil activists in Britain are seeking an arrest warrant against President Rajapaksa, who is currently visiting Britain for alleged war crimes committed last year at the end of the long-running civil war against Tamil separatists. 7,000 ethnic Tamil civilians were killed in the final months of the conflict. In a cable sent in January, the U.S. ambassador in Colombo, Patricia Boutanis, said one reason for the lack of progress toward a genuine Sri Lankan inquiry was that the president and former army commander Sarath Fonseca were largely responsible for the killings. On the day Rajapaksa set foot in the UK, a British TV channel broadcast video footage of an alleged massacre by Sri Lankan forces of civilians, further compounding evidence against him. It's 32 minutes past the hour. The UK's Foreign Office lied to Parliament over the plight of thousands of islanders expelled from their Indian Ocean home to make way for a large U.S. military base. According to secret U.S. diplomatic cables released by WikiLeaks.
By WikiLeaks. Yeah. Nothing new. There's nothing new there, Mercy.
Yeah. More I have to keep saying it, yeah, but just no. Assume.
We're not learning anything new. It's all old stuff.
Yeah. Right. More than 2,000 islanders were evicted from the British colony of Diego Garcia in the 1960s and 1970s. The Foreign Office, backed by the U.S., has fought a long legal battle to prevent them from returning home. The newly leaked documents show the Foreign Office privately admitted its plan to declare the islands a marine protection zone was actually a ruse that would end any chance of islanders being repatriated. In a May 2009 cable, Colin Roberts, the Foreign Office Director of Overseas Territories, told U.S. diplomats, quote, "We do not regret the removal of the population, since removal was necessary for the island to fulfill its strategic purpose," end quote. It's 34 minutes past the hour. Finally, rampant government corruption in Afghanistan, a phrase I've been saying a lot lately, and inability of the U.S. to do anything about it have been laid bare by
the WikiLeaks
classified diplomatic cables. According to one report, former Vice President Ahmad Zia Massoud was stopped and questioned in Dubai in October 2009 by officials from the U.S. and the United Arab Emirates when he arrived with $52 million in cash. Uh-huh. Massoud was allowed to go on his way without even explaining where the money came from. The cable sent by U.S. Ambassador Carl Eikenberry detailed the colossal scale of capital flight from Afghanistan, often with the cash simply carried on flights from Kabul to the UAE. Eikenberry wrote, quote, "Vast amounts of cash come and go from the country on a weekly basis. Before the August presidential election, $600 million in banking system withdrawals were reported," end quote. For Go Harrison on KPFK, 90.7 Los Angeles, 98.7 Santa Barbara, 93.7 San Diego, and 99.5 Ridgecrest, China Lake, I'm Mercy Malik. You can be my friend on Facebook and send me news tips for your reality check.
News update. Harrison.
Take a tip, button up your lip, don't get yourself unstrung.
Arm makeup,
just from a slip of the tongue.
Don't talk about the weather,
it's a military secret.
Just keep your wits together,
that's the safest way to keep it.
These are critical times, be careful of espionage.
Hmm? In such critical times,
you gotta
watch
out.
Yeah, a little Glenn Miller. Yeah. Watch, yeah, watch what you say. All right,
so melodic.
Yeah, it is. Brad Friedman in for Harrison.
Wow.
Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. Continuing our conversation with Glenn Greenwald of salon.com about what really is an unprecedented, it seems to me, Glenn, to be an unprecedented moment that is going on. Or if, in fact, is this precedented? We saw Joe Lieberman, you wrote about this last week, emulating Chinese dictators. Mm-hmm. He called Amazon.com, or one of his staffers did, and within hours, Amazon.com had taken down the WikiLeaks site. They had been their server. And as I was driving over, I'm thinking, you know, we have seen this before. In the 50s, McCarthy. Do you see these same parallels here?
No question about it. I mean, you know, in one sense, I mean, I think it's important to acknowledge just how unprecedented WikiLeaks is in the eyes of the U.S. government and the permanent national security state.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the way things typically work is that, you know, we have elections, we have citizens who stand up and criticize all sorts of things, and nothing really changes. Nothing matters. It doesn't matter if there's a Democrat or Republican in the White House, the Pentagon, the CIA, the intelligence community, they all get what they want. The wars continue, the budgets increase, the power remains unconstrained. WikiLeaks is one of the very few entities that has truly posed a real threat to all of these power centers, that really has put fear in their hearts. And not just theirs, but power factions and centers around the world, private and public. That WikiLeaks has exposed corruption and illegality in all kinds of countries besides the United States. And so it's not really surprising in one sense that the reaction is extreme, because the threat in their minds is not only extreme but quite rare, maybe even unprecedented as well. But what it shows is just how lawless of a society we have become. There's no interest whatsoever in figuring out how to prosecute WikiLeaks within the law. Everyone acknowledges that it's extremely difficult to actually prosecute them, but it doesn't matter. The punishments are being meted out. The threats are being issued. And we have a whole panoply of powers that the government has vested itself with that can literally destroy not only a person but an organization. And you're seeing those applied to WikiLeaks without any pretense of due process or charging them with a crime or anything else. And that, I do think, is, if not unprecedented, certainly something we haven't seen on that level for quite some time.
There is this presumption that they have broken a law somewhere. They've committed a crime. They need to be, therefore, targeted. You know, we see this similarly in the president's, in Obama's targeting of U.S. citizens for assassination, simply because he declares him to be an enemy combatant, even though he's a U.S. citizen. So much of this, it seems to me, and then I saw you also wrote about this same thing today. Does this not come out of the last 10 years when, you know, we have essentially ceded our law of order to the president, to elected officials, to simply declare anybody an enemy combatant? No trial necessary. No crime needs to be committed. No charges even need to be brought. If it is decided by elected officials and then trumpeted by the media, that's good enough. Aren't we now reaping what we sowed over the last 10 years in a case like this with WikiLeaks and the targeting of them and Assange?
Well, I think that's exactly right. I mean, it works both ways. I mean, remember that, you know, one of the things that is sort of on the opposite side that political officials have done is, it's not only that they've declared their power to put people in prison like we did at Guantanamo without any charges, just purely on their own say-so, or to assassinate them. It is true that we've done that, and essentially they've declared the power to punish people without having to charge them with a crime or prove their guilt in a court. That's what the United States has been doing for the last 10 years. But it's the converse is the same, is true as well, which is our political leaders are free to break the law and do break the law with impunity, and then declare afterwards that they have that right. So, you know, we had a law in place for 30 years called FISA that literally said, you can go online and read it, it is a felony to eavesdrop on American citizens without the warrants required by the statute, punishable by 5 years in prison or a $10,000 fine. Of course, the Bush administration got caught doing exactly that. They created a worldwide torture regime, which is illegal. And at the end of the day, the political media cops got together and said, well, as long as this conduct is conduct that we like, even though it's against the law, it shouldn't be punished. So what's happening is the law has completely become a weapon in the hands of the elite to essentially constrain whatever behavior they want and allow whatever the behavior they want. They put people into jail who haven't broken the law, and they shield themselves when they have broken the law. And that's you know, the manifestation is this, which is we can't point to any illegality that WikiLeaks is engaged in, but since we don't like what they're doing, we're just going to treat them like criminals anyway. We're going to skip over all the stuff about courts and grand juries and indictments and due process, and we're just going to dole out the punishment, and that's exactly what's happening.
This is the rule of law absolutely turned on its head, it seems to me, and you're right. The elected officials can break the law with impunity. They're off the hook. Everyone else can not break the law, and then their charge somehow regarded as not just criminals, but hell, terrorists. this is the authoritarianism, the tyranny that I would think, you know, you've had these Tea Party folks on the right now for the last 2 years yelling tyranny, tyranny, authoritarianism. This seems to be it. Glenn Greenwald, help me out here. Have you heard, have you read, you read everything, and I don't know how you do it. Have you heard, read anybody out there on the right decrying, we'll get to the folks on the left in a second, but anybody on the right decrying this as the tyranny that it actually is, that they've actually been warning about for so many years now? Anybody? Anywhere?
Well, there's, you know, there's very isolated, few isolated examples. I mean, for example, a few days ago, Ron Paul came out and said that Julian Assange and WikiLeaks ought to be protected because they're engaged in core First Amendment speech, and that if we start labeling truth and facts as treason, then we're in real trouble, as he put it.
Well, to be clear, I don't put Ron Paul into that group because he was Tea Partying back before the fake Tea Partiers came up, the folks who I call the teabaggers, frankly. Ron Paul was in there right from the jump. Anybody else?
No, I mean, mostly what you've heard, and not only have you not heard anybody who's identified with the Tea Party, but the Tea Party movement as it's, you know, in its warped form that it's become. You hear the opposite. I mean, Sarah Palin, who's, you know, often identified as the queen of the Tea Party movement, actually said that Julian Assange and WikiLeaks should be treated the way we're treating Al-Qaeda and the Taliban, basically meaning that we should kill them. Glenn Beck, who certainly identified with the Tea Party movement, said on his show that Julian Assange is guilty of treason. Now, that makes absolutely no sense because
he's not a citizen.
He's guilty of treason if you're not an American citizen.
Right.
But clearly, what do we do with traitors? We kill them. So he was implicitly calling for his death as well. And that is amazing. I mean, if you look at what the Tea Party says that they believe in, one of the things that they should be most offended by is things like what you alluded to earlier, Joe Lieberman and other government officials bullying private companies to take websites out of the internet, off the internet, because it contains politically incriminating content. I mean, that should be the most offensive to the principles of the Tea Party, and yet not only are they, I wish they were silent, they're not, they're actually affirmatively supporting it.
Which means that, you know, anybody, whether it's Barack Obama or any other president who decides that such and such an organization, let's say, Tea Party Nation, they make the determination that this for some reason is an enemy combatant, a terrorist group, they can cut them off. And the fact that the right-wingers haven't figured this out, I was going to say is amazing, but I guess it's not anymore. I don't know what is more amazing when I look at all of this. Glenn, you were on MSNBC a few days ago. Jonathan Capehart of the Washington Post said basically, I think it was on like the first day these new documents were released, he said, there's nothing new here. I have heard that all over the place. He said that, of course, on the first day when there was, you know, just a very few cables that had been released. But we heard it with the previous leaks, the Iraq logs, the Afghanistan logs. Nothing new here. Nothing we didn't know. Do these people actually believe these things, or is this just the knee-jerk, lazy, easy way to keep them from actually having to cover?
Read them.
Yeah, actually having to read them to cover what's going on.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. First, I don't believe, I just will never believe that any journalist who basically describes these cables that dismissively, and that's what most of them are doing, as well, there's not really that very many revelations here that are bothersome. I don't believe that any of them have read it, read the cables. And the reason I don't believe that is because there's no way that you could read them and say that. You have, you know, Hillary Clinton ordering State Department aid to gather biometric data and emails and passwords of UN officials, which is a violation of the UN, the Vienna Treaty of 1961, which happens to be the law in the United States. You have State Department officials blocking and bullying Spain and Germany from launching investigations. So you have a whole variety going on for the next 10 minutes, and that's only in the 600 cables that have been released thus far. But I think it's more than just sloth, which is definitely an important part of this. It's just too hard to read those cables, so they just don't. They wait for other people to tell them what's in there. I think more it's just that reflexively, they don't want WikiLeaks to be seen as doing the job that they failed to do. So if WikiLeaks is out there exposing important secrets and shining light on important government corruption, what does that mean? It means that the American media has failed to do that. So demeaning the revelations is a way of siding with the government, but also defending and justifying their own role. That's why they hate WikiLeaks the most, because the contrast between the media and WikiLeaks shows that what the, our establishment media does is so inept and anemic.
That makes sense. Now, I understand what you're saying. So downplaying it, it's not all that important because, well, we didn't report this previously, so it can't be all that important. Mm-hmm. There's really nothing new here, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. And well, there's one thing on that, you know, what was so amazing about Jonathan Capert saying that was the, when the WikiLeaks documents on the Iraq War were released, you know, 2 months ago, the former bureau chief of the Baghdad Bureau for the Washington Post wrote an article in the Daily Beast essentially saying that these WikiLeaks documents reveal all sorts of amazing new things that prove for the first time conclusively the extent to which Don Rumsfeld and General Casey and the other Bush officials, and she used this word repeatedly, lied to the public and lied to the press corps about what the war was, what was going on in the war.
The Washington Post reported that?
She used to be at the Washington Post as the bureau chief in Baghdad. She had to leave the Washington Post in order to be able to speak that way, meaning to tell the truth. So she now writes for the Daily Beast, and what she did was go through these documents and systematically show these new revelations. But, you know, people like Jonathan Capehart and others were at the same time saying these documents show nothing new.
The Washington Post, yeah, you have to leave Washington Post if you want to use the word lie, apparently. This has been years long. They just won't use the L word in that newspaper. Glenn, of course, I could talk to you for hours on this because this is absolutely remarkable. So let me just leave you with this question. WikiLeaks has said that it will, the coming months will see a new world where global history is redefined. Ultimately, when this is all said and done, and I don't know when that day comes, whether it's days, weeks, months, this could be going on, perhaps even years, but when this is all said and done, what's going to be the larger story here? The actual information that is leaking out, or the way this may, in fact, redefine the Internet? And will the Internet hold up? Is it holding up to this? And will it overcome what really now seems to be a direct assault on everything that the Internet is or is supposed to be?
Well, what you're really seeing is a war. I mean, it's a war in every sense. It's a war over control of the Internet and how the Internet can be used. And the question is, will the Internet really be used for what it's promise has long been, but which it hasn't really quite been able to achieve yet, which is to really democratize political discourse and subvert centralized power. And what WikiLeaks really represents is one of the first very real internet-based threats to centralized power, and that's why the war that's being waged against it is so intense. And one of the things that I found that most encouraging was how so many people now are emerging to create near internet sites. I know you were talking about that earlier.
Yeah.
And to diffuse the information, to download that insurance file. There's thousands of them throughout the world. They couldn't possibly trace them. What that shows is that the internet really does have still untapped promise. And I think that this is going to be one of the real battles that we're going to look back on in terms of how this whole conflict has played out and whether the internet can really fulfill its promise.
And one last thought here. We've seen, obviously, Democrats just failing in light of this. And, of course, we would expect Hillary Clinton to decry these, and Joe Lieberman does his thing. But how are you seeing, Glenn, the progressives out there on the Internet, in the blogosphere, the progressives and the folks who have been media critics for so long? Are they getting this one? Are they on the right side of it? Are they bringing to bear the attention that something like this actually deserves as far as you see it this time around?
You know, I mean, I think there's been a little bit more support for WikiLeaks in, I would call it, the establishment press than even among progressives. Where, you know, I've been very disappointed. I mean, in general, once the Obama administration takes a very strong position, the way they've taken a strong position against WikiLeaks and are their prime adversary, you basically see progressives refusing to involve themselves on the opposite side. So they're not leading the charge against WikiLeaks, but they're certainly not defending it either, because to defend them, means that you're essentially putting yourself in an adverse position to President Obama, and too many progressives are unwilling to do that.
And that is what is perhaps ultimately most troubling to me, is that they don't have the defenders that they need. So, Glenn, thank you for being one of those defenders and for drawing this case out so clearly. Glenn Greenwald from Brazil, the Salon.com blogger, author of How Would a Patriot Act? A Tragic Legacy and Great American Hypocrites. Buy them all for Christmas this year, but, well, maybe don't buy them from Amazon.com. Glenn, much appreciate you joining us here this afternoon, and for all of the work you continue to do, sir.
Thanks very much. I appreciate that.
All right. Glenn Greenwald, a must-read, frankly, every day if you want to know what the hell is actually going on. And the nice thing is, you don't have to trust him. He provides you the evidence. Don't trust anybody. Ask for the evidence. All right, we're going to try to get to one or two of your calls if we can after this traffic break. 310-737-8255 if you want to get in. We've got just a few minutes left. And now, Jeff, with traffic.
Harrison.
All right. Thank you, sir. Smartly done. Our apologies to PETA and the dogs after that. Mercy, this is amazing. I'm glad I've been able to come in here and talk about this for the last 3 days
for
Harrison.
Yeah.
But this will continue, and I think perhaps the most alarming part is what Glenn seemed to agree with me about at the end, that we're not seeing the noise, the hue and cry, the Sturm und Drang that I would expect, that I would hope, that I would wish we'd get from progressives.
Well, and it's very similar to the response to McCarthyism back in that era, where there was a bunch of people jumping on their what they had identified as their enemies, and everyone else kind of like,
they're scared. They are scared. I mean, look, I didn't even get to this, but colleges, universities are sending out notices, memos to college students saying, if you ever want to have a government job, a government career, don't visit WikiLeaks.
No.
Don't comment on WikiLeaks, don't leak to them on your Facebook page, on Twitter. Yeah, because years from now, when you go in for a job interview, they're going to be looking back. And
at your records.
And they don't like people who can't keep secrets.
Wow.
And, you know, this is chilling. I think this is as scary as hell. Do I have time to get to a call at this point, Jeff? Real quick? Let's see if I can make
one
it. Yeah, very quick. Gail in Montclair, welcome to KPFK. What's on your mind?
Hello. Well, I have to say that we're now in the United States of Fascism because of all that you and Mr. Greenwald brought up. And, I mean, I think that you're doing a great job to get it out here. But this comes on top of the fact that the FBI just raided in Chicago and in Michigan some peace activists.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they're going to be going in front of a grand jury. I mean, this is just... And then people are being patted down, treated like criminals at the airport. All of our rights are being taken away, and this so-called constitutional lawyer as the president has done nothing but tighten the noose around our liberties, which we no longer have. So this is, I'm glad that you are on the air and that you guys keep this up, because the public needs to know it.
Thank you, Gail. I appreciate the call. I think you're right on the money, and I'll tell you what, it's because we have been sitting around for years saying, oh, it's okay, it's my guy, it's Bush, he's doing it, I'm cool with that. Oh, it's my guy, it's Obama, he's doing it, I'm cool with that. This seems to me that this is one damn thing that folks on the right, folks on the left, Americans can agree on.
Ought to be able
to. Ought to.
That's
we've got a rule of law. We got a free press, the only industry that is mentioned in the U.S. Constitution.
Yep.
And where the hell are the people of this country lining up and yelling and yelling and screaming about what is tyranny, about what is authoritarianism?
Yep.
You know, not the fake BS they've been yelling about for years, but the real thing. And this is the real thing as far as I'm concerned. So, do our best to continue making noise about it. Brad Friedman in for Harrison. He will be back with you tomorrow. You can find me at bradblog.com. We'll have the archives up there as well later. My thanks to Mercy Malik on news, Jeff Thomas doing traffic and screening, and D'Angelo Jones on the board today. Thank you all. Much appreciate you having me here. We'll talk to you soon. Good night, America.
Let me whisper in your ear. Say the words you long to hear. I'm in love with you. Ooh.
This is the People's Radio Station, KPFK 90.7 FM.